This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Commanders in D.C. reach a deal for a new $4 billion stadium at the RFK site. And folks are dancing in the street. You heard Scott Van Pelt, I'm sorry, this morning on ESPN talk about it. He was downright giddy. Joining us right now from ESPN 630 in D.C., courtesy of the Window Nation's guest hotline, he is Andy Poland. Good morning to you, Andy.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How exciting is, I admit I'm not a Commanders fan, but I understand football and I understand what football means to D.C. And I also understand that the place you play in right now is not very fan-friendly in terms of getting there and getting out. I hate coming down there for a football game, a college game as well. How excited are you about this new project at the RFK site?
First of all, a little bit, you may be right on the total price. Right now, they're talking about $3 billion, not $4 billion, but okay. With cost overruns, who knows? Second, the point about getting in and out, you guys don't know how good you have it. Going to M&T Bank Stadium, especially coming from the D.C. area where you can get on 95 like 5 minutes after the game is over, even if it's a sellout and everybody stays to the end. Yeah, that's been a problem, not to mention sewage dumping on the fans, railings collapse, just a mess that the new owners had to put $75 million into just to make it inhabitable for the last couple of seasons. But, this is a huge deal. This really goes back more than 30 years. The great hope was that when they were through with RFK that they would stay in the district. But that didn't work out for a variety of reasons, which we can get into if you want. But they have been in what has been a dump of a stadium for nearly 30 years. And there's still a couple of steps that have to go. Congress has to approve this, and then it has to be approved by the city council. And there is resistance on that because they don't want to spend $1 billion of city money to pay for this. But this seems to be a dance that goes on all the time with the building of stadiums. And I think that ultimately there will be a deal in place. And the hope is that it will be open in time for the start of the 2030 season.
And aside the fact that, as you said, it's playing in a dump, which is never good for the fans. How much do people chafe about the fact it's in Maryland? Because I grew up, sadly, a Jets fan. And when they end up playing in New Jersey, everybody was pissed off.
Jets haven't won since Vietnam, Ed. Sorry.
Jeremy, I don't think you were in when I there was a car in front of me. I tried to get a photo of the bumper sticker. It said, New York Jets, 1968 Super Bowl champs. I had to explain to Celeste why I was laughing so hard. but anyway, back to Andy. And do people resent the fact it's in Maryland and not in the district?
Well, I mean, they just resent the fact that that stadium exists. And, this is an interesting area in that you have the Virginia suburbs and then the Maryland suburbs, and then D.C. is in the middle. And people who live in Virginia never go to Maryland. People who live in Maryland never go to Virginia, but both states go to D.C. And, there's this great tradition over the years of going to games at RFK Stadium, and becomes an even more romantic notion when you think about the great run that they had through the 1980s and into the early 1990s. And not only has this been a bad stadium that they moved into in 1997, but under the ownership of Dan Snyder, the team was an embarrassment. It was a disgrace. And so that ties into, the feelings that people have about the stadium. As far as, commuting and what state it's in, I don't think that's as big a deal because we had the Capitol Center here for, 25, 30 years, and that was in Maryland. So I don't think that's an issue. It's just the fact that combination, bad ownership, bad football team, bad stadium.
Well, other than that, how was the play?
Yeah.
Andy, so again, being a Washington fan and seeing the change, I can only imagine with new ownership, now the stadium stuff, it has to feel like that you guys are taking a huge leap forward even after finding your franchise quarterback as well. So being a Commanders fan right now has a ton of promise, right?
Oh, in 24 months, the ownership of Josh Harris has taken the most disgraceful team in sports to one of the jewel franchises, you know, in the NFL, minus the stadium. And you know, this would be the final step in that. But, I mean, realize what he's done just in the last 12 months. Hired a real GM in Adam Peters, hired a real coach in Dan Quinn, got a franchise quarterback in Jaden Daniels, and now has gotten approval, at least, you know, the ball at the two-yard line, to build the new stadium, which, as people have been hoping for 30 years, would be built right where it's going to be built.
Andy Polin joins us from ESPN 630. Now, Andy, your baseball team won the World Series recently. Your football team seems to be back on the right track. What's going on with the Wizards, and do they have a plan to ever be a contender in the East?
The plan is that the ping pong balls land properly in a few weeks and they get Cooper Flagg. But even with that, they're telling you that it's still going to be a while. Grab a Snickers. Last two seasons have been historically bad, the worst two seasons in franchise history. They're probably going to be a lottery team again next year. But after what has gone on for a long time of them staying, you know, relatively competitive, idiotic moves like giving Bradley Beal a no-trade clause in his max contract and things like that, that's all over with, and they're building with young players, and the hope is they all develop. But, you know, you never know. You see what happened with Philadelphia. I mean, it looked like they had gone through the process and everything was lined up for them to make a run at the title. And now Joel Embiid is breaking down, and then they have to start all over again. So, you know, Wizards have been kind of, you know, the last time anybody really got excited about them was when they went to back-to-back finals in 78 and 79. It's really, you know, by far the number four franchise here. And the Capitals, with all the excitement about Ovechkin, you know, breaking the record and now being on the doorstep of getting to the second round, that's where the excitement is right now.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't think anybody's cared about a Wizard since Harry Potter came out. And getting Cooper Flagg would definitely change that franchise. Sorry, Ed.
That's fine. And just you mentioned the Caps. I mean, I love hockey. I'm pretty excited that they're, you know, they're advancing. They look like they're going to take the Canadiens. Are you surprised at all they were this good this year? I didn't think they'd be, you know, a division leader this year.
Oh, when, you know, you're looking at the Ovechkin chase for Gretzky's record, my feeling was a couple of years ago, well, you know, they're going to have to drag him across the finish line with a rebuilding team, and this, you know, could get embarrassing. And the way it's turned out, he's as good as he's ever been. You know, he missed 16 games this year and still had 42 goals. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that they're a good team led by an old guy who has shown a lot, you know, promise with the younger players that, you know, they're on track even when Ovechkin does leave and he's got 1 year left on his contract.
There he is, Andy Polin. Andy, thanks a lot, my friend, for your time, sir.
Good to talk to you guys. Take care.
Thanks, always, Andy. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Ken McCusick joins us in studio at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, we're giving out shovels. Ed?
Yeah. There's a lot to choose from today, but I'm going to go with the playoff officiating in the NBA.
Ooh, my.
Another bonehead call.
Another boner?
Yes. Man. Boner, bonehead, whatever.
Yeah.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text. 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS. 105.7 The Fan, shovels next. Time to give out shovels. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel?
Quickly, I'm going to give it to the officials in the game between the Rockets and the Warriors. Because it's like the Knicks-Pistons, you know, admission that they screwed that game up, or potentially did. But they made a mistake. I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, Dylan Brooks and Steph Curry, he steals from Steph Curry, gets a little scrum with him. Draymond gets a tech. You know I like Draymond, so I'm biased, but I didn't see him do anything that, you know, warranted a technical foul.
He did some cruddy stuff, and I'm trying to remember where he got the tech, but I was telling Rob about him trying to sneak into the team huddle and shoving the guys, and then he also tried to defend Curry after he and Brooks got into it.
About.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so. That's the one I'm talking. That's where he got it.
Okay.
He got it there, but that's what, look, when he's 30, I'll tell you, and he wasn't the next one. Then he gets into with Eason. where he grabs by the shorts, pulls him down, and kicks him in the head. Like, you know what Draymond does when he rolls over and accidentally kicks people in the head?
Sounds like
he hits Steven Adams in the nuts.
Yeah.
Well, he should have been ejected, because he already had one technical hit. That would have been a second. No, they called it a flagrant. I didn't know this. You don't get thrown out with a flagrant and a tech. So they made up. They was like, to me, a makeup call. I just feel like they're getting so much wrong here. And I'm going to give the handle of the shovel a little jut to the jaw to the Nationals for scheduling scheduling Pups in the Park night. The same night as fireworks.
Oh, yeah, I almost brought this up too. Good God.
I mean, you would especially know this with your dog.
Yeah.
I mean, you schedule the fireworks. It's after the game, I get it. But you're still close enough that they're going to get upset. And you schedule on the night they play the Mets when Soto comes back for the first time as a Met to D.C. I mean, you know it's going to be packed, and this is who scheduled this. Like, what if nobody raised their hand and said, excuse me, whatever.
Jeremy, who should get your shovel today?
I mean, I should give it to me for the Sagano thing earlier, but you know, I'm going to give it to myself for the NHL game last night, in which I'll get to talk about it a little bit in the Daily Line. It was 2-1 with 3 minutes and 40 seconds left to go in the Tampa Bay game, Ed, and I know you watched. I was kind of scoreboard watching for the last few minutes because I'm like, I don't want anything goofy to happen, any empty netters. It's 2-1, goes 2-2, and I'm like, no big deal. Play this out. Everybody's going to play defensively. Nobody's pulling their goalie, right? We'll go to overtime. Somebody will win 3-2. I win. They scored a goal with 3:40 left, and then they scored a goal with 3:31 left, and then it got under 2 minutes, and then there was another goal scored. Three goals in the last 3 minutes and 40 seconds. I still don't know what happened when a game was 2-1 the entire effing time.
It was ridiculous. I think they had two goals like 11 seconds.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
I thought my phone made a mistake because I wasn't watching it. I'm like, again, I'm watching on my phone and I'm going, no, I can't. They just scored. They couldn't have just scored. They did. Yeah.
I watched it. You know, I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Had to be such a kick in the pills for Tampa Bay fans that were up 2-1 and then you blink and it's over.
Was. Yep.
My shovel goes to former NBA player Steven Jackson. His quote, they hate to see confident, N-word, when you're black and you're confident, they hate you. Okay, what does that have to do with Shedeur Sanders? What is that? Because that's who he's talking about. Yeah. What is that? What does that have to do? So Cam Ward has no confidence.
Abdul
so Jalen Milroe has no confidence. Abdul Carter walked up in his cultural gear. No confidence. This is the problem. It's a lack of accountability.
Yeah.
You know, whenever something happens, we have people in our society who always blame it on race. It has nothing to do with his race. Look at the NFL. Right now, there are 32 teams, 17 starting black quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
17. It has to do because he had a bad interview. I'm sorry, bad interviews.
He was a jackass in every meeting.
In every one. Instead of you telling your kids they hate you because you're a confident black man, tell your kids you can't show up like an ass in interviews. That's the message.
Rob,
the message is he showed up like he owned the place. And they said, you just messed around and found out. The biggest problem we have in our community is we blame the wrong things. Everything ain't because you're black. Everything ain't because you're black. Sometimes it's because you act like an ass. Guess what? They may not like you because you're a confident black man. They may not. You may not. But if you check the boxes, they can't hold you back.
Ain't nothing you can do if you're good.
Ain't nothing you can do if you check the boxes. You think they want all the black quarterbacks in the National Football League? Really? Do you think so? Probably not. But when you do your job, they got no choice. That's the message. They got no choice.
Worse than that. When they do things like this, it really insults the people who actually suffer from discrimination.
Exactly.
Because it still exists, obviously.
The sky is falling. The sky is falling. And guess what? Chicken Little, eventually when this really is, nobody's going to believe you because they're tired of the message.
Yep.
They're tired of hearing it all. Oh, here we go again. But, no, this really is racist. I know, but geez, I mean, you said it the last 3 weeks. And you said sometimes it's because you didn't do the right thing. Shedeur Sanders is suffering from two things. He came in like a jackass. And, oh, by the way, your talent is not to the point where I can't do without you. Those two things combined is why he got drafted in the fifth round. Stop with this narrative.
But why are people pushing this? Like, even all the stories that have come out of how these meetings have gone, and people are like, oh, you're against him because he's confident. This is the same kid that had an almost 4-touchdown lead against Stanford, went in, got on Instagram, started recording himself, talking trash.
Yes.
And then they came out in the second half and got their ass whooped.
This is the guy you're. This is the guy you're protecting.
I mean, come on.
So
man.
They don't like confident black men. Hey, Cam Ward, you need counseling, bro. Because you have no. You know what? I lack a lot of things in life. Self-esteem ain't one of them. What are you talking about? They don't like confident black men. What are you?
I've been trying to keep him down for years. Damn.
Joaquin in Baltimore. Who's your shovel going to?
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
Good, doing well.
Love y'all's show, man.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Your excitement there, Rob. I feel you. But my show was going out to my wife, man.
Ooh.
I had a grandson yesterday, and it's our anniversary on the same day. Ironically. So I thought, I mean, my wife expected me to go and celebrate at 8 o'clock after I've been to the hospital on Charles Street all daggone day. She gets my shovel.
So Joaquin,
yeah.
What'd you celebrate?
I celebrated the Yankees the Orioles beating the Yankees yesterday, plus the Grandpa.
Joaquin, thanks a lot, man.
You know, the cool thing with my wife and because of her schedule is that we celebrate Valentine's Day on the day that's not Valentine's Day. We usually do Christmas on a day that's not Christmas. It just doesn't matter.
Let's go to Dylan in Bel Air. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
My shovel's going to go to a Guardians fan on Sunday. I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but he told Jaren Duran he should have done it when he had the chance.
Yeah, I heard that.
The same thing to say.
I heard about that. Yeah. Come on, dude. That's going beyond sports.
And for people who don't know, Jaren Duran had a
good,
suicide
good
attempt.
Good shovel, Dylan. Yeah.
And this fan yelling at him, and Jaren lost his mind, to which everybody came out, and he was telling everybody what they said. There should be no punishment for Jaren for that.
No.
None.
No.
People keep coming into these games, and because you buy a ticket, you feel like you can say anything you want to them. You can boo them. You don't get to talk to certain people. You wouldn't go up to them if you were on the street and say that to them because you'd get your ass beat.
They should let that fan on the field with Jaren.
Yeah.
Everybody make a circle.
Yeah, you want to
don't let them out.
You want to tease the line in the cage? Walk in the cage.
Walk in the cage. That's right. Yeah. Kim McCusick joins us in studio at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, what should we expect from Kyle Gibson tonight? Jeremy all smiling and
I think the table just
rubbing
lifted.
His exactly. Welcome to Big Bad Morning Show or the fan.
Yeah, I hope he can just bring a lot of things. Honestly, I know one thing: he's going to compete every single time out and. He's one of the best teammates I've ever been around in a clubhouse. He pitched really well for us a couple years ago, had a nice year in St. Louis last year. He kept us in the game more times than not 2 years ago and was absolutely fantastic. So hope we get that version. I know we're getting an unbelievable person and a human being and a real leader and an adult in the room, I think, which is great.
So, Jeremy, what are your thoughts on Zagato?
Well, I think he's really going to help Zach Orr out on the defensive side. He's a guy that he knows this. You know, he's done this for a while. Former coach. I told Rob it's disgusting how I don't want to call it excitement. It's just like it's the possibility that I never see Charlie Morton again. That Kyle Gibson is here and that other guys are here.
Charlie Morton's going to the bullpen.
I don't even need to see him there.
I mean, I haven't been told that, but I think he's going to the bullpen.
Here's something for you. Don't walk like you do it with everybody else. Run. Get away. It's just been so bad, and he's had such an amazing career to finish it like this. But with Kyle Gibson, again, you know what you're getting from him. He's not special. He's not, but he's just solid. When somebody says you're getting an innings eater, that's exactly what Kyle Gibson is. He's going to be an average pitcher right around there and kind of keep you in some games and give you an opportunity.
What's the question? Am I excited about it?
Yeah, I mean, what should you expect from him?
Oh, exactly that. I mean, I just expect somebody, you know, to do a decent job when you need somebody to, you know, as you say, eat a couple of innings. That's all. And I agree with Charlie Morton. I've seen enough, man. It's just, it's not, you can't do it anymore. You just can't. I know we've been bombarded with injuries, but you can't. But this, you know, I just expect somebody. I'm not particularly excited. It's not like, yay, this is fantastic. See, I just think, yeah, he fills a need.
Can I explain? So the Charlie Morton to the bullpen thing, for years they've always said, just put him in the bullpen. He's still taking up a spot. Yeah. And by the way, it doesn't fix what you're doing. And what scares me is that he goes to the bullpen and looks okay. I don't expect him to look good. Looks okay, and then it's like, hey, we should give him another start. No.
This was going
to
happen.
I know it's going to happen. It's like I told somebody else, they're like, hey, the Charlie Morton special's coming up on Saturday night. It still happened, but I'm going, this is probably the one where he pitches well and earns himself another start.
Or you put him in the bullpen, and he continues to give up a run an inning, and he gives up three runs.
Then he won't be
innings.
There long. Yeah, he won't be there long then. Right. Going back to Gibson, what I expect from Gibson, I expect he has a nickname, Gibby. He's the guy that when he shows up today, the player's going to come in, Gibby! Mm-hmm. They're going to rally around him. He's the guy that may remind some of these guys who they really are, not by what he does on the field. Kyle Gibson's presence is a jolt in the clubhouse, what I believe. I don't know what he's going to do on the field. I don't.
You talked about the other pitchers love him.
I have no – the players love him.
Yeah.
I think when Gibson returns, guys like Adley – guys like Gunner, these guys are going to look over and remember who they were. You know what? Because he was here back when it all started. The turnaround started. He was here. That was 2023. And I think what he does is he could be a reality check. Mm-hmm. We're better than this. I think when he comes, Kyle Gibson's the guy that can look at Gunner Henderson and say, man, what are you doing? You're better than this. He's the guy that can look at, because he was there when it started. What I know of Kyle Gibson's return. I'm not gonna sit here and make it like he's, oh man, that's exactly what the rotation needed. No, he might not be what the rotation needed, but he may be mentally and spiritually what some of these other guys in that clubhouse.
Can I get
need.
An amen?
And
I just you know, it kind of reminds me of if this is true. Was it Andrew Cashner that had the big smoker outside the clubhouse?
Yes.
Yeah, down here.
Yeah,
they loved that guy.
They did.
They loved him. And he was like, same thing.
They rallied around him.
Yeah. His career win-loss record is 57-87. You know, it's like, it wasn't a great pitcher, but they loved that guy.
And the difference is, they weren't that good back then. They weren't that talented.
This team
is talented. And when you see Kyle Gibson come back, see, Kyle can look at you and say, man, I remember when you did this and that. What's going on? What's wrong with you now? And they would accept that because he was there when it all started.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for the turnaround. So I'm glad that he's back for that. I'm going down there today intentionally. When I told you that I was going down there today and you wonder why Tuesday, that's why.
Yeah. No, I got you.
Yeah, that's
when
why.
We were talking yesterday.
Exactly.
See, he doesn't even tell me the full story. This a-hole keeps the inside stuff from me. And I don't even tell anybody anything. Like, I keep everything to myself if you need tickets at Rob Long Sports.
So I'm going down because that's how I feel. Gibby's back. You know, I don't know what he's going to do tonight. He might give up five runs in three innings. I don't know.
I do want people to understand, like, I'm saying it's sick how excited I am that he's coming back, because I think it means I'm not going to see guys that I just can't watch pitch anymore. I don't want to watch Charlie. I watched Charlie Morton last year, and I even said it at the beginning of the year, and then was like, well, you know, they need a vet, and then everybody else got hurt, and it's like, now they need Charlie Morton to be a stopper, and he's just not that. He's not – he's terrible right now. Like – even when you think of these older guys, they usually struggle with velocity, not control. He's struggling with everything.
Yeah. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I want you all to listen to this soundbite real carefully from Brandon Hyde.
Hope we get that version. I know we're getting an unbelievable person and a human being and a real leader and an adult in the room, I think, which is great.
An adult in a room.
Yeah, you need adults in the room. And look, I think that's a
big, I hate adults.
I think I know. I think it was Bordy that kind of said this. Well, the young guys are struggling. They need adults in that room.
Yeah, they
need that. That's why you need, like, you know, Mullins and O'Hearn and, you know, Urias. They're the adults in the clubhouse right now, and they're performing and they're keeping this team afloat. But the young guys need to, you know, they need more of these guys around them. I think he brings that.
I remember in Chicago. Anthony Santander had a bad at bat, and he came to the dugout, and he had his head down, walking around with his head down.
I remember you telling me this story.
Remember I told you this? Yeah. And Kyle Gibson walked over to him and looked at him, didn't say a word, and handed him the tablet. Santander took the tablet from Gibson, went to the corner, sat down, and watched the at-bat again. Mm-hmm. Next at-bat came out, hit a double. I'm not saying he hit the double because of that. What I am saying is he made him focus without saying a word to him.
Yeah.
He didn't say a word. He stood in front of him with a tablet on his left hand, in his left hand, by his side, just looking at Santander. Santander stopped talking, stopped pouting. When he stopped, he handed him the tablet. Took the tablet, sat down, watched it that bad.
I think Santander wanted him to go to Toronto.
That's what Kyle Gibson represents. I'm telling you, I don't know what he's going to do on the field. I don't know if he can get anybody out anymore in the major leagues. I don't know. But I do know his return. Hyde said it best. There's a adult in the room. 410-583-1057 is the number. What are your expectations from Kyle Gibson's return tonight? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
When you have familiarity with somebody and he's so well-respected in the clubhouse and so well-liked, you know, when I told some of the guys that we were signing him, they were pumped up. A lot of guys were really excited that he was going to be joining us.
Yeah, I mean, I think what Kyle Gibson brings, his greatest value, is the moment he walks in that clubhouse. I'm not one of these people that believe, you know,
I believe
you got to have a guy in the clubhouse that everybody likes. I'm not that guy. I'm really not. I'm not wired that way. But I do know there's something missing with this baseball team and these guys. I think there was a point in 2024. This is just my theory. I think there was a point in 2024 where these young guys realized, oh, crap, they're chasing us. They're chasing us. Well, what do you do when they're chasing you? See, when you're chasing them, you all, man, let's go.
You're locked in.
Let's go. Exactly. Now you're chasing them. You've got that carrot in front of you that's dangling that you're trying to chase and you're trying to get. When you catch up to that carrot and now that carrot is behind you and now you're the ones, I don't think they knew how to go from being the chaser to the ones being chased. I don't think they knew how to handle that. I don't. I think in this instance, having someone come in and remind them of what they were when they were chasing, I think it helps this team. I think it helps them mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever you want. I think it helps them. I don't know if Kyle Gibson is going to record an out tonight. I don't know. But I think before he takes the mound tonight, Ed, his value has already been there. His value was it was worth bringing him up before he even takes the mound.
I totally agree with you. It's worth bringing him up because what he does is his job everywhere he's been. You know, what he'll do is he'll give you close to 200 innings every year. That's what he does. You know, 150, 190, 160, 192, 169. He's that guy. He goes out every day and does his job. And there's a lot to be said for that. And he's great in the clubhouse and all the things we talked about in the last segment. I think it's a great addition for the team. I mean that. He's a great addition for a lot of reasons. He's a professional. Yeah. He's a professional baseball player. And he does his job. Is it a big splashy move? No. I mean, you didn't pick up Tarik Skubal. But you picked up a good pitcher who's going to give you a lot of innings.
Yeah, there was a reason why he was still out there because he's just, again, I think Rob's right. The fact that, let me give you the example. We talked about Jack Flaherty and probably being the best option out there, and the Orioles didn't even kick the tires on him to bring him back. Mm-hmm. There were rumors about things in the clubhouse. You know, you can confirm it, deny it, whatever you want.
Yes.
Okay. That he just wasn't liked. And I think maybe this does hold more value to the Orioles because the familiarity there, as you said, the trust between him and some of these young players that are now supposed to be the leaders of this team or become that.
Yeah.
And maybe there's more value to that for the Orioles, but it just makes you wonder. And again, they didn't think all their pitchers were going to get hurt. Why they didn't sign him sooner then if this was something you were going to do?
Yeah.
Before Joe reads some text, it's the best way to put it this way. Kyle Gibson's the guy that you want to pat you on the back. You want to make him happy. Mm-hmm. That's how the players are with him. What you got for us, Joe?
I'm not going to read texts from us. I'm going to read three replies from Jacob Calvin Meyer's post about this yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. Orioles Twitter is a complete cesspool. It's actually worse than our text line. But let's see. Real leader and adult in the room. Hello, isn't that supposed to be Brandon Hyde? F'n fire this a-hole, please. That's great, but isn't that what Spot... That's great, but isn't that what Hyde is supposed to be? I'd prefer the seven-year manager be a leader and adult, but I guess I'm just effing stupid.
Those three people never played a sport that had a locker room.
Right, exactly.
Either they played the sport when mom and dad rolled up to the field and they got on the field and played. They've never been in a locker room. If you think your manager or the coach is the leader of the locker room, you never played a sport that had a locker room.
Actually, many times they'll be absent on purpose.
Exactly.
To let the team captains or the team leader address the team. If you're in a slump or if something's going on, there's some kind of friction, they don't want to be involved. It's handled by the players.
It's weird. It's the same thing. I was the team leader that got to undress the team. So, you know, when you go...
Different.
And, what?
Different.
I thought that's what you guys did, too.
No.
You guys didn't play for the same teams I did?
No.
I've been on this team forever. I never
No. No, we are different teams, dude.
You did say undress, right? I didn't.
But no, you think John Harbaugh is the leader of the Ravens? You think so? No, he's not the leader on that team in that locker room. That's you want Hyde fired. Say that, but don't say dumb things. Don't say dumb things, man.
That's all you're gonna get.
They're the best manager in baseball, and he is not the leader in that clubhouse. He's not.
How come we weren't talking about the great leadership he had in the clubhouse when he won Manager of the Year? Nobody was bringing up that leadership then, right?
Yeah. Seriously, if you think your coach or your manager is the leader in your locker room / clubhouse, you never played a sport where you had a locker room.
You know, we just have to remind ourselves, though, the people that populate these message boards are really just like the most unhappy trolls in society. They just hate everybody. It doesn't have to be Hyde. It could be us. It could be Hyde. It could be the mayor. It could be the president. These guys spend all their life just criticizing everybody. That's what they do. And they're not very smart, and they're certainly not thoughtful because they say stupid things. So who cares?
What do we say all the time about the Ravens? They need some dogs in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
They need some dogs in the locker room. That's what we always say, well, because it's important. What you have in the locker room is important. What you got, Joe?
This one seems a little bit more of a measured take. As weird as it sounds, the O's have a lot of uncles. They don't have a dad, and that includes the manager. I don't care if Gibson pitches to a 5-plus ERA as long as he gets the clubhouse right.
Okay. I mean, look, I think there's a lot of criticism that's fair, and I also think there's a ton that's unwarranted when – people just want to pile on for certain situations or what's happening. And it's so easy in baseball because in football, we have an entire week to talk about the same nonsense for one game until the next game happens. And whether you win or lose that game decides on how people feel about their team moving forward for the rest of the year. And the same thing happens in baseball. When we had the two-game win streak, right, when they won the series, everybody's like, hey, were we wrong about this team? No, you weren't wrong. They have a ton of injuries, and they're trying to weather this.
By the way, Vinny is trolling me. Vinny said, you are a chaser. Give them advice. It's a different chase, Vinny. Different chase. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Hey, before I get to Gibson, right, man, if somebody would have told y'all a month into the season that Seguna was going to be our best pitcher on the staff right now, would y'all believe that?
Sigourney?
Seguna? We got an African now?
Seguna.
Sagano.
Tommy.
Yeah,
Sagano.
You got that part right.
Yeah, you know. There y'all go, man. See, you know what? When I'm on the Pat Boyle show and the Dallas show, you know, they don't give me this type of crap.
They're afraid to.
You're probably not talking about sore ass and Shibuzi or whoever the hell you just called him.
Segundo, man. That's his nickname, man. How about
his nickname?
That?
All right.
That's his nickname. Together.
Remind me not to call him that, but go ahead. What's on your mind, buddy?
All right. So about Gibson, though, you know, so tonight, right, if he can give a 6-inning pitch, 2 walks, 2 earned runs, and 4 strikeouts, I'll be satisfied with that.
Why
you know,
nothing, walking, nothing less than that?
Huh?
Nothing less than that?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be like a decent start. Wouldn't you think that'd be a decent start for a guy coming back that hasn't pitched all year?
Yeah, but again,
that's high expectations.
I'm not expecting him to go 6, but if he does, great.
If he can go 4, I'm all right.
He pitched 30 games. He started 30 games last year, 169 innings. That's like 5.6 innings a game. He hasn't pitched more than that very often.
Yeah, what did he pitch in his last start in the minors. Like, because again, I don't know how many innings he went, and that's not necessarily a definer of what's going to happen in this game. He's a vet, but I'm sure they still want to build up that arm a little bit.
Give me four. World is Stupid at 8:15 with Jeremy Combs. On the other side, Ravens invited some undrafted players to the team to try to make it. Ken McCusick, he did some film study. He's going to tell you all about them up next on The Fan.